I bet you're all thinking, I wonder if Jim's going to sing a special today. No, I'll probably go sit with Joseph and Vance and not sing. But I do have some pictures to show you. I want you to look at these, and I want you to ask two questions. What are these, and what do they have in common? So what is this one? Tickle Me Elmo. Good. Okay, what's next? Madden 25 video game. I don't know how many Madden games there have been, but there's been a lot of them. This is the newest one. What is this? A Cabbage Patch doll. That's exactly right. That's one of the original, the one that they made in Cleveland, Georgia. All right, what's next? Ninja Turtles. All right. And this one was from when I was in high school. What is this? How many people remember a pet rock? I had a pet rock that was given to me by a girl in high school. And I want you to know there was a book that came with it, The Care and Feeding of Pet Rocks. And I learned to teach my rocks tricks. He could lay down. He could play dead. He could sit. I even taught my rock to roll over. Now, what do all of these things have in common? At one Christmas or another, each one of these was the biggest gift the kids were looking for at Christmas. Every year, there's something that becomes the hot present that everybody wants. It might be a toy. It might be a video game. It might even be a Stanley drinking cup. But there's going to be something that is the thing that everybody wants on a particular Christmas. It's the toy that all the kids ask Santa to bring. It's the one that stores can't keep in stock, that people will do whatever they have to do to get one. And this year, we have a must-have gift that we're all looking for as well. This year, we're all looking for good news. We need some good news this year. Everybody's longing for good news. After a year of watching as the economy has struggled and prices have risen, after wars and rumors of war are taking place all around the world, after hearing daily about the bad news that seems to be going on all around us, just in the past week and a half, tragedy that struck all across our country and even around the world. People need a little good news. We're desperate to hear things are good. In the midst of a world that sometimes seems to have gone crazy, there's good news. And so this Sunday before Christmas, I want to invite you to join me on that dark hillside outside of Bethlehem, where a group of shepherds gathered in a cave around a fire, seeking shelter from the cold. Because of all the people whose lives were touched by the birth of Jesus, these are the men that I can most identify with. I don't know what it's like to be a king traveling from the east. And I don't know what it's like to be Herod dwelling on a throne in Jerusalem. But I understand the shepherds. Ordinary men living ordinary lives, facing ordinary challenges. Men whose lives could be turned upside down by what people in power were deciding to do. Men who struggled sometimes to make ends meet. Men who were trying their best to find a little good news with little hope that anything was ever going to change. Until the night the sky was torn apart by the glory of God, and they heard the greatest news that the world has ever known, when the angel declared, "Do not be afraid. I have come to bring good news of great joy. There is born to you this day a Savior." It was a life-changing message, and it calls for a world-changing response. And it does. And so today it's my privilege to remind you that what the shepherds heard that night on the hillside is still what people are listening for today. The good news that only God can give us. So let's look at what the angel declared to the shepherds and discover that God is a God who is in the good news business. And in the midst of a dark world, we recognize a light still shines. And it always will, until he returns for his own. So let's look together at what the Bible tells us about the declaration that we heard from the angels. The first thing we will discover is the angel declared that the good news was for everybody. From the very first moment, the Christmas announcement included us all. The angel said, "Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." To all people. That challenged everything they had ever believed. Until that moment, everybody assumed that God only cared about the Jews, his chosen people. They thought that the history of the Old Testament proved the fact that God only cared about one group of people, and that was the Hebrew nation. And everybody else was left out. God had no interest in them. There was only one group of chosen people, and everybody else just had to realize, you don't belong with God's people. The shepherds understood that. They knew all about being left out. The very nature of their work meant that while they could worship God, while they could honor God, while they could even provide spotless lambs to be used for sacrifice in the temple, they were not welcomed to come to the temple themselves. The nature of their work meant you are unclean, unfit, unable to worship in the very place where you provide sacrificial animals. They were not much higher than the Gentiles who did not worship the true God. But then came an angel. And he was sent to declare that the good news is for all who will hear and believe the gospel. It was for all people. One of the great things that we recognize when we ask, is there any good news, is this. And no people are left out. All people are included. When God sent his son, he sent his son because he so loved the world. That's why we celebrate and receive the Lottie Moon offering in the Christmas season, is to remember that God loves the world. God is calling people to go to the world. Everybody in the world deserves to hear the gospel at least once in their lifetime and to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, because God loves us all. How good is it to know that this morning as we celebrate Christmas, the Lord is not sitting in heaven and saying, "Now I want these people to celebrate, but I don't care about these people. I'm really excited if these people worship the King, but those people, they don't matter to me. I don't even know who they are." All men, all people. It reminds us that what God gave the world in Bethlehem was salvation for the whole world. Even today, there are those who will insist that salvation is reserved only for a chosen few. That God would look down on a group like this and say, "That one, but not that one. This one, but not this one." If you're not among those who have been chosen, God's not interested in offering you a place in heaven. If you want to believe that, you better get ready to wrestle with an angel, because he's the one who said, "For all people." But here's the great thing. The angel declared that the good news is offered to every one of us, not just to all people, but to each person. The gift was for the world, but it's also the most personal gift that's ever been offered to you. The angel said, "Born to you this day in the city of David." Born to you. It's an intensive personal phrase. God wanted each of these shepherds to know, I'm talking to you. You are individually included in the promise. Here's the great thing that we know from the gospel story. The angels didn't just happen to stumble across that particular group of shepherds. He was sent to them. The heavenly hosts were sent to announce to this little group of men gathered around in the cold and in the dark, God has sent a gift to you. To you. Each of them heard an invitation. Come and see the newborn king. Every one of you has a place around the manger. And we do, because that's God's way. He deals with individual hearts in personal ways, and nothing is more important to each of you this Christmas than have a personal encounter with Christ. By this point, at Christmas, all of us have said to our children and to our grandchildren and to the people that we love, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want? What will be important to you? What kind of gift are you really hoping for? Because we want their Christmas to be a very personal celebration. Isn't it good to know that the Lord God Almighty looks down from heaven at each one of us and He says, you, I gave my son to you, born to you this day. Oh yes, born to the whole world. But more important, given to you. And every one of us, if we're going to celebrate Christmas the way we need to celebrate it, need to be able to say, and I know what Christ has done for me. I remember the day when He spoke to my heart and said, today is the day for you to receive me. Thought it was exciting when I was thinking about this morning and I realized that the Saunders were going to be lighting our Advent candle. And there's Ben, the last one I've baptized here at the church, Ben. Because unto you, God gave His Son. And it's just as true for every single one of us. Given unto you. Don't get so busy that you forget to hear what God is saying to you. Because you know what He's saying this Christmas? He is speaking your name and saying, unto you is born a Savior. The news the angel declared is exactly what we need. What did he say? Born to you a Savior. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Jesus left heaven to enter a world that was sinful and dark and lost, just like it is today. Would have been far easier for the Lord to keep His distance, to say, I don't want to be close to you. It seems as though, as I've been talking to folks today, that almost everybody seems to have somebody that's homesick today. And I think about the fact that sometimes when I come across somebody who's sick, and I say, how are you doing today? And they say, I think I'm coming down with the flu. What's my first response? It's the same as yours. Oh, you're sick? How good. Even Judith would testify. When Judith has the flu, when she gets sick, I put her in the bedroom upstairs. And I will come to the door and I will say, I'm sliding your food under the door. You can come and get it. I'll see you in a few days. Judith, they think I'm exaggerating. Not at all. And yet, here is the Lord Jesus Christ who's looking at a world infected by sin, devastated by sin. And it's not a cold and it's not the flu. It is a terminal disease called sin. And it's killing the world. And we say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm infected. I'm full of sin. It's going to kill me and I'm going to be dead for eternity. And what does God say? Here I come. Here I come. Because I'm what you need. I'm the Savior. I'm your hope. I'm your salvation. We were lost, so he came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And he brought that eternal life, that healing that we so desperately needed. Born to you a Savior. But not only that, the angel said, and born to you is the fulfillment. He said, born to you is a Savior who is Christ. Christ, the one God had been promising since the fall of man. Jesus was the one that God had told his people to expect. The whole Old Testament pointed toward the fact that sooner or later, I'm going to send Christ. And he's not coming to be a Savior. He's coming to be the Savior because he is Christ. You know, most people these days think of Christ as Jesus' last name. What do you mean when you call him Christ? Well, you know, he's Jesus Christ. Like I'm Joe Smith or Susie Brown. But that was not a name at all. It was a title. It was a title that meant the Redeemer King of all the earth. The promised one who was coming. Jesus the Christ fulfilled the greatest promise God has ever made. Because this is what the angel said. Born to you a Savior. Born to you is Christ. Born to you is God Himself. Born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord. To call him Lord is to confess he is God Almighty. To call him Lord is to recognize he is the one who is in charge. He has authority over all of heaven and all of earth. And he's coming to be your good shepherd. God himself is coming tonight. And he will be with you. And he will guide you. And he will protect you. And he will provide for you. And he will bring you all the way home. And all you have to do is choose to trust him and take him at his word. He is the Lord. When we recognize that the angel was saying to these shepherds, born to you this day in the city of David, he didn't say an infant, a baby, a little child. Born to you this day, laying in a manger, God Almighty. God Almighty come to save his own because he cared that much and he loved that much. And so he came to be one of us, to be with us. The Bible says when the message was delivered, the skies were filled with a heavenly host and they were crying out together, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I got into a conversation the other day over who were those angels that filled the sky? Was that an angel choir? Well, a lot of us think so. Was it an angel army? Well, we know that Jesus said he could have called down 12 legions. Who were they? What were they? They were a host. That's all you need to know. A whole lot of angels. So many that you could not see the darkness between the brightness of this heavenly host. And they cried out, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And as they returned to heaven, and as the skies became dark again, The shepherds had to decide how they were going to respond to what had just happened to them. And together, they made three let us decisions. The Bible says it this way: so it was when the angels had got away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." What did they say to one another? They said, "Let us go." They'd heard the good news. They knew where the child had been born. They knew what his coming meant. But they had to decide to go to Jesus. It was up to them. They had everything they needed to know. Now they had to decide. And they looked at one another and said, "Let's go. Let's go to Jesus." The same thing is true today. You can have all the information you need. You can believe that it's all true. But if it doesn't bring you to Jesus, it really doesn't matter. You're invited to come, but God will not force you to go. If on that evening, the shepherds, overwhelmed by the wonder of it all, saw the glory of the angels fade away, and one of them said, "Let's go," and the others said, "No, we can't abandon the sheep. We've got a job to do. Besides, we probably wouldn't be able to find him." God would not have taken them by the scruff of the neck and dragged them to the manger. They had to decide nothing in the world is more important than to go to where he is. God has chosen us, the unchosen, to be the first ones to see what's going on. Let's go. And we have to say the same thing. You know what? I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to go to him. Because there's nowhere else I need to be. Nowhere else in all the world that matters. If I've never gone to Christ, let us go. And the second thing they said is this: let us go and let us see. They had to witness what God had done. They needed to look at him. They needed to be eyewitnesses to God's overwhelming gift. They needed to know that what had been told to them was true. And if there's anything you need this Christmas Sunday, it is a personal encounter with Christ. I need to see for myself. I need to experience in my own life. I need to recognize he came for me. I want to be a witness. I want to ask him to forgive my sins. I want to ask him for eternal life. I want to invite him to be my Savior and Lord. I want to go and I want to see that what I've always heard is true. Not just true for the world. Not just true for believing people. True for me. And so they went. And they encountered God Almighty. And they believed that manger, that baby in a manger, was God's greatest gift. And then they looked at one another and they said, "Now let us tell. Let us tell what has happened to our lives." The Bible says, after the shepherds had found the baby and experienced what the angel had done, they told others what God had done. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. In other words, they wanted everybody to know. They witnessed what God had done. They recognized the privilege they'd been given. They knew they had encountered the Savior, the Christ. And so they went and told everybody. They didn't gather together in a little huddle and say, "Okay, let's keep this to ourselves. This is great news. This is good news. But if we tell people, they're going to think we're crazy. If we tell people, they're not going to believe what we're saying." They said, "Let's go. Let's tell. People need to know what God has done. That's the way it is, isn't it? When the best news you've ever heard comes your way, all you want to do is make sure somebody else knows. I will guarantee you, by Christmas at lunchtime, I could pick up the phone and call every child in our church, every child that I know, and say something like this: what did you get for Christmas? And not one of them is going to say, I don't want to tell you. You wouldn't believe it anyway. What are they going to do? I got a Cabbage Patch doll. I got Madden 25. I got a pet rock. Not only do they want to tell you about it, they're going to want to say, and look, here it is, I've got one. By the way, I will say this. Judith and I were in a store the other day, and they had pet rocks on the shelf. I was astounded. Let's make it known. It's the best news anybody's ever been given. God sent His Son. He is Christ the Lord. Good news. God has sent His Son. Let us go. Let us see. Let us tell the world. Jesus Christ is born. You know, I thought I was ready for church this morning, but I was driving over here and I was listening to some music on the radio and got to hear Keith and Kristen Getty and their group from a concert a couple of weeks ago, and they were just singing, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." And it was powerful, because that's what God's called us to do. And this is what I get to tell you today. And if you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't have to leave this room without knowing Him as your Savior and your Lord. In a minute, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And if you don't know Christ but you'd like to be saved, I'm going to be here at the front. And you can come to me and say, "Today's the day I want to trust Jesus." And I'll introduce you to the Lord. Or maybe you're here today and you're recognizing, you know what? Part of the let us go is let us go to this church where God's called me to be a member. And I'm going to plant myself right here and bring my membership to First Baptist. Or maybe today is a day when you're recognizing, you know what? I'd forgotten the wonder of it all. And I just want to come today and say, today I begin to say, "Lord, thank you for all you've done for me, and I just want you to know my commitment is with Jesus." Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. God's Holy Spirit is going to deal with your heart. You come. Let's stand together. Let's sing. I've spent a great time in God's house today. We have worshiped. He has spoken. And we look forward to celebrating His birth. I hope that you're planning to be here Tuesday night. Bring friends. Bring family. Be here at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a very simple, very reverent service. We're going to share the Lord's Supper together. We're going to light our candles, and we're going to give testimony to the fact that God has sent His Son and Jesus is born. I look forward to seeing you as we gather Tuesday evening. Let me remind you again, if you donated a poinsettia for us to use for Christmas this Christmas season, and you know you're not going to be here Tuesday, feel free to take your poinsettia and carry it home. If you're going to be here, leave it through our Christmas Eve service. But make sure you have it to enjoy. Let's bow together for our closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we thank you that what the shepherds experienced is what we experience as normal people in an ordinary world who simply need to know it's time to go, it's time to see, it's time to tell. Jesus Christ, the Lord, has come. And we pray, thanking you for our worship and looking forward to all that you're going to do this week as we celebrate your Son's birth. And we pray in His name. Amen.